Today's daf is daf kuf lamed gimel, and this will remind you that you have to go to college to study the proper way to do milah. And we are at the bottom of kuf lamed beis amud beis, the last four words on that daf. So recall yesterday we had ended up with a machlokas about whether we should look at the din of the avi mute, whether we should look at the din of Shabbos as being more chomer, or we should look at the din of Tzaras as being more chomer. And that would actually define for us whether we've got that kal v'chomer about why Mila should be docha Tzarat and we would not need a pusik, or whether we actually need a pusik and therefore we'd only be able to make a ma'atzad to learn out from the word basar, which appears by Ben Shmonat Yamim, and also by the Oral Zohar Asher Lo Yamud Bisar Lato, which is talking about somebody who's an adult and is going to die without Mila. What about the people in between? So we made a matzah. That was the machlokas we had yesterday. And it turns out that that question of Rav Safra's attack, that Sarat holds Sarat is more chomer, and Rava holds that Shabbat is more chomer, actually turns out to be how the Rav of Rav Safra is a machloket Tanaim. Where do we see that? The Tanya. The Braita actually learns from the word basar, v'yomashmini yomu basar arlato, that that basar means even if there is a tzarat baheret, go right ahead, yimo. So says Reb Yosha. Reb Yonatan says, why do I need a pasuk? Eino tzarich. It's a kal v'chomer. If Shabbat, which is more chomer, now this is exactly like Rav, and what Reb Yosha said is exactly like Reb Safra. If Shabbat, which is more chomer, Mila is docha, why would Mila not be docha tzarat? So this is, in fact, an ancient machlokas. Omar, can you get back to that word basar? So we asked, actually, when Reb Yosha said that we should need the basar to tell me that you're allowed to be mal, even if yesham baheret yimo, what's the problem exactly? I mean, why is this considered to be a malocha? Not a malocha, but the equivalent of that when it comes to all other isurim. Remember that we learned that the din of davar she'eino mitkaven has two completely different, we went over the Rambam I mentioned to you earlier, has two different components in it. One is the component of the Melechus Machsheves, which has obvious differences, legabi the dinam of Shabbos particularly, and the other is Bichlal, in general, in Isurim. If a person is going to end up doing an Isur, has absolutely no interest in doing that Isur, he's doing something else entirely. There's also a concept of Dover She'eino Miskaven, and it's like he's being mitasek in something else, and why in the world is he going to need to take that into consideration? It would be sort of like a guy who's walking down the street in order to go daven at the Kotel. And because he's davening at the Kotel, there are these electronic measurements of his temperature, you know, to make sure he doesn't have corona. And there's all kinds of registration on computers. And where is this guy? There may be facial recognition. And he's causing a million different things to happen. It makes no difference to him. Nobody ever thought of that as a malacha b'chlal. And this certainly should be true when it's coming to Kol Isurim, because that already has nothing to do just with the dinim of Shabbos. So we asked in Reb Yosha, if you are not interested in cutting off a baheret, you're interested in cutting off an orla. So why isn't that a davar she'eino mitkaven? And a davar she'eino mitkaven is mutter to do. So now the obvious question I know, which is what you're all thinking, and we'll get to that in a minute, is that in this case, there's no way to avoid the result. You can't cut off that orla without also cutting off the baheret that's on it. That's equivalent to cutting off the chicken's neck and saying that I'm not interested in the chicken dying. I mean, what are you supposed to say? I'm going to cut off the baheret, but I'm not interested in cutting off the baheret. Fine, we'll talk about that in a moment. And yet, for some curious reason, Abaya says, you're right, this won't work out according to Rabbi Shimon, because he holds davar she'eino miskaven is mutter. It'll only work out according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds davar she'eino miskaven is aser. Rava says, what's the problem? It could work out perfectly well according to Rabbi Shimon. Remember that Moida Rabbi Shimon is Psik Reisha V'lo Yamut. So this is a classic Psik Reisha. Hold on a minute. Abaya doesn't hold of that? But, I mean, all through the Masechet, we've been saying Abaya and Rava, Amri Tarvayu, both of them said that then. That Moida Rabbi Shimon Psik Reisha V'lo Yamut. Yes, Abaya definitely did say that. But you know where he learned it? He learned it here after he heard Rava's argument with him. And Rava said, why are you saying that this comes out according to Rabbi Yehuda? So only according to Rabbi Yehuda. So because of that, he said, you know what? He's right. And therefore, he joined with Rava to always say, Meida Rabbi Shimon b'psik reisha v'lo yamut. Now, it's interesting that this whole discussion might be nogea a completely different issue that also has to do with Nega Tzarat, but does not have to do with Mila, because there was another braita that goes like this. Analyzing the posuk, Yishomer b'nega ha-tzarat lishmor ma'od, v'la'asot k'kol asher yoru etchem. So, therefore, we darshan over there. By the way, this is Rashi's gears. Anyway, Rashi understands that la'asot, in order to go directly, you can't do, which apparently that part is not so clear that it appeared in Rashi. So you can't go to cut it, but you can la'asot, you can do your general work. And therefore, if in order to do the things you normally do, you tie on, let's say you tie on your sandal with a shoelace, okay, or a reed that you're using as a shoelace. Now, as you walk along, you happen to have tzarat, you have a baheret on the top of your foot. And as you walk, the gradual rubbing of this shoelace against the top of your foot ends up basically degrading the skin and taking off the baheret. Right? Or let's say you work as a sabal and you carry refrigerators on your shoulder all day and you've got a baheret on your shoulder. Now, obviously that skin is going to be gradually degraded. And in fact, you end up taking off the baheret. That is fine as long as you're doing the thing. Im avra avra. Now, so the question that we asked over there, and this is what triggered the discussion between Abaya and Rava, according to this approach, was, why do we need a pasuk to tell me that? Obviously, it's a davar she'eino mitkaven. So why shouldn't you be allowed to just go about your business? And if it turns out that you rubbed it off, you rubbed it off. It's a davar she'eino mitkaven is mutter. Omar Abaya, you're right. We only need the pasuk of la'asot, according to Rabbi Yehuda. He holds a davar she'eino mitkaven is asur. Rava says, well, what's the problem? Works out fine, according to Rabbi Shimon, because mutter Rabbi Shimon b'psik reisha v'lo yamut. We know perfectly well there's no way to avoid the impact on the baharet if you're going to be wearing this type of shoelace that's rough and it's going to rub against your skin. Same thing would be true about the sabal, who's carrying things on his shoulder, and therefore it ought to be perfectly fine according to Rabbi Shimon. And over there we ask the same question. And what? Abaya doesn't hold that? Abaya is the one who's always joins up with Rava in telling me the din about psik resha alib the Rabbi Yehuda. How come all of a sudden now we're saying that it doesn't work according to Abaya? Doesn't work out like Rabbi Shimon. And it's here in this case, not in the previous case about Mila and Tzarat, but it's here about the question of whether you're allowed to be Oseh without Kavana. So Moda Rabbi Shimon b'psik resha v'lo yamut. And it was there that the Gemara said, yes, he does, but that was because he learned it from Rava at that occasion. So Labosel Shami mi Rava, Sovra, and that was it. So one second. So then that means if Abaya holds that the truth is, before he learned it, the truth is that according to Rabbi Shimon, it would be mutter to do a davar she'eino mitkaven, lechatchila, even if it was a psik resha, right? So how did he explain the need for the pasuk, which says baser, that means that even if you know you're going to be taking off the baharet that is now on the foreskin, you should do that with Mila. And what do I need it for? I mean, according to Abaye, didn't he have to deal with that issue? We've got an extra pasuk basar, the way he's understanding Rabbi Shimon. Omer of Amram, well, what's the problem? I mean, what if a guy would say, man, I'm so glad I'm finally going to get rid of that baharet. I'm going to get myself a Brit Mila. Whew, been driving me nuts, that spot. Okay, so then that means that he does have kavana. I mean, you can't say over there it's a davar she'eino mitkaven. He's very aware and perfectly happy. Yeah, I mean, but that doesn't generally happen with an eight-day-old, does it? I mean, he ain't worried about no spots on his foreskin. So what would be the case over there? This would have to be dafka in the case of the gadol. But remember, we have two busers. We have the orel zachar shelo yomo b'sar alato, yes. But we also have the other buser. And the other buser is on the tinok, So what do you explain that buser, according to Abaye, La Liba de Rabbi Shimon? Oh, well, that would be the same thing. That would be that the father says, now listen, you make sure you get rid of that darn white spot on my new baby. So over there, he was mechavin on that. Wait a minute. What do you mean? I mean, the Torah wouldn't be telling you to go ahead and do something that was usher if you can do it when it's mutter. How can I do it when it's mutter? What do you mean, how can you do it? Call up a male, another male, who couldn't care less whether this baby has a pyharid on his penis or not. What's my business? And get the father out of there so the father doesn't say anything. And then it'll be a davar shenem iskaven. Because if you don't know the psik resha, I mean, it's absurd to say that, what, Rabbi Shimon is going to need the pasuk. The Torah had to tell you, well, if the guy demands from the male that he has to have a kavanah to cut him, that's crazy. Just don't say it and get in another male or something, right? So what would be the case there? Ika acher lavid acher, because Reish Lakish, after all, pointed out a very fundamental din, that wherever you've got a case where you have got, you're going to be over on an iser, and you have an assay to do anyway, like this case, mila bitzarat. So you've got an assay velotasa, if there's any way to be mekayim et shneihem. So then you have to be mekayim et shneihem. So then mutav, vimlo, only if there's no option. Yavo asevit chalotasa. Yes, okay, fine. And what if nobody else is around? And what if the only one that's capable of doing this bris mila is the kid's father? There's not a male in town bechlal. So the Torah doesn't have to tell me what the din is over there. There's no kind of say what your problem is. Obviously, it's just one of the ways which the Gemara like gets down to the underlying issue. Omer Mar. So then the Mishnah, we ended up saying that Yom Tov mila is not going to be doicha unless it's mila bismana. So how do we know that? Omar Chizkiah, v'chein tanit v'chizkiah, Omar kro lo totiro mimeno ad boker. Now, notice that the pasuk seems extremely repetitious. Lo totiro mimeno ad boker, v'hanotar mimeno ad boker, be'esh tisrofa. Now, what's the ad boker for? You just said lo totiro mimeno ad boker, so then say, v'hanotar mimeno. Ah! Sorry, just had an exploding pop bottle here. That's what happens when Barnea doesn't do the work and I try to do it myself. It always backfires. Whew.
This is a non-exploding bottle of water. It doesn't give the same boost, but this is a demonstration.
They have things like that? Just bottles of water. How do you like that?
Yeah, but this is just barely enough for one omelet.
Can I just ask a quick question while we take this moment here?
Yes, it gives me a chance, as Barnea would say. It gives me a chance to take a drink, right?
Here's my question. The Behera is only a nega of Tzarat if a Kohen declares it to be. And for
No?
No. Not for a baby?
Not for anybody. You're not allowed to cut it off before the Kohen gets to see it. That's the Yishama. Yeah. Okay, so to continue. So we got up to Etzad Doicha. Now, remember, so we were talking about Lototir Mimenu Ad Boker. So what's the point of repeating Vehanotar Mimenu Ad Boker Besh Tisarev? That's crazy. Ma'ata Maloma Ad Boker again. Ba'akatuv Liten Lo Boker Sheini Lisarefato. Therefore, we need to understand the second Ad Boker as referring not to the Hanotar Mimenu Ad Boker, but rather Hanotar Mimenu Ad Boker Besh Tisarev. Wait until the next morning. In other words, it became Noser on Pesach morning. Don't burn it now because it's Yontev. Wait until tomorrow morning, which is Chol HaMoed, and then burn it. That's the point. Abaye says, I know that from Omar Kro Olat Shabbat B'Shabbat To. You can only do things that are Nogea on this Shabbos, for Shabbos. You can't bring something that was the business of Chol Lo olat chol b'shabbat, v'lo olat chol b'yom tov, and mila shelo bizmano is essentially chol. I don't need it for Shabbos in any way. It's a mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah that's been there from yesterday, so I don't do those things on Shabbat. That's the point. And memela, I couldn't do it. Rav Amar is another marker. Amar kro hu levado ye'aseh lechem. Hu v'lo machshirin. You can only do what it was that was necessary for your food. So it says, Ach asher yeachel l'chol nefesh hu levado yeaseh lechem. So one is to tell me Levado means it and only it. What is that coming to say? So who is the thing itself? And levado means even including Mila Shor Bismana that you might have made a Kal V'chomer and say if it's Doche Tzaras, it should be Doche Shabbos. No, it's not. If it's Shor Bismana. Ravashi Amar? Ravashi says there's no Havamina. Because there's no Esa Doche Lo Taseh if the Isser is both a Mitzvah Zaseh and a Mitzvah Lo Taseh. Well, it happens to be that the Mitzvah of Yom Tov is not only an Isser, it's also a mitzvah that the Torah refers to when it says Shabbaton. So that word Shabbaton is, like we say, B'yom HaShvi'i Shabbaton. Remember, Shvi'i Shabbaton. Shabbaton is a chiev aseh. Therefore, ein aseh doche lo taseh ve'aseh. Then comes along Rabbi Akiva and says, no. Klal Amar Rabbi Akiva, whatever you could have done before Shabbos is not Doche Shabbos. Whatever you can't do before Shabbos, that and only that is Doche Shabbos, which effectively blocks out anything that would be called Machshirin. Om Rav Yudam Rav, yes, we indeed paskin like Rabbi Akiva and not like Rabbi Eliezer de Mila, who says that even Machshirim are Doche. Now, we have exactly the same machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, and exactly the same mimer of Rabbi Yudam Rav when it comes to something else entirely. And that was Benogea, the question of the needs that you would have to make sure that you could bring your korban Pesach if it was Shabbos. So therefore, we have that same thing. Rabbi Akiva says, no, a malacha that you could have done from Erev Shabbos, let's say to bring it Michutz Tchum, to cut off, if you need to cut off something on it that gives it a mum and so on. All of those things you cannot do if Erev Pesach, the time of bringing your korban, is Shabbos, because you could have done it the day before. And it's exactly the same machlokas we have over here. Only the shechita, you obviously can't shecht it from before Erev Pesach, and that would be on Erev Shabbos, and then it's Doche Shabbos. And there too, Rabbi Yudah Amar Rav, halacha Rabbi Akiva. Now, it's exactly the same machlokas. Why did Rabbi Yudah Amar Rav need to paskin two times like Rabbi Akiva? Because tricha. The Yashmina Gabi Mila, I would say the reason that we have this machlokas is because why do machshirin that are efshir la'asot mi etmol are not Doche Shabbos? That's because if you miss Mila Bismana, there is no chiyuv karet. Chiyuv karet is only missing Mila your entire lifetime. But this question, the father being Moel on the eighth day, has no karet associated with it. But if you miss out on your Korban Pesach, now not bring a Korban Pesach, is it Isser karet? So over there, maybe it should be Doche Shabbos. And on the other end, if I paskin, like Rabbi Akiva, in terms of the Korban Pesach, I would say, okay, a Korban Pesach doesn't have this incredible centrality to Yisrael's existence that Mila does. You don't have 13 britot to bring a Korban Pesach. You don't have any britot to bring a Korban Pesach. Avo Mila, the nichrtu aleha, yud gimel britot, my heavens. I mean, maybe there we should indeed paskin that even the machshirin would be deiche, and therefore Rabbi Yudah Amar Rav wouldn't have said it. Legabe Mila. Therefore, we need to have both of these psakim, that there's a machlokas in both cases, and that we end up paskining exactly like the way we did in one and the other, which is we pass him against Rabbi Eliezer and like Rabbi Akiva. And now it is time for a word from our holy tablecloth. Ah. Okay, so now we're going to go back with the words that started the whole story, the words that started the whole story with the closing words of the Mishnah that introduced, at the end of Mefanim, introduced the whole sugya of Rabbi Eliezer de Mila, and those were the words, Osim kol tzarchei Mila b'Shabbat. Now, over there, we were just bringing it along because we were talking about Leda, we were talking about babies, how to take care of babies after birth, and things like that. So we said, and we pointed out that, of course, that was the Seder of the Torah in terms of the connection of Leda to babies and Mila. And that turned out to be, that's not some type of conceptual thing. It's actually used lahalacha, because remember, it's the very fact that Shivas Yomim appears by the din of Yoledet that allows us to have that extra Yom Hashmini, which says, well, what do you need to say Yom HaShmini? You could have just said Ubashmini, right? So that means that the connection of the Leida to the Mila is actually part of the very limud of the dinim of Mila B'Shabbos, you see? So it makes tremendous sense that we would have this flow that goes from Afanim into the din of the timing of Mila. But since we introduced two things, I mean, one thing was the timing. The other thing is you do it all. I have no idea what all means. So now that we've dealt with the timing, we dealt with the birth, we dealt with dealing with the children, now we have to deal with what do you mean by all? So that's the question. I mean, if you do Mila, obviously you do whatever is necessary for all. And therefore, the Gemara is going to go into what exactly is the all. So let us remember that we have really a number of different issues that we need to deal with in terms of the practicality of Mila. Things are not as simple as they seem. Because first of all, the fact is that cutting off a foreskin is not going to give you a kosher Mila. For the simple reason that what happens is that actually the glands of the penis is covered with a membrane. And that is called the Or HaPriya. If you don't take off that membrane, the fact that there is no Orla does not change a thing. And this was the whole, this is called Priya. This was the whole story of Dvorah, where it's Bifroa Piraot B'Yisrael. She was the one who was very upset that Mila wasn't being done properly, and she was the one who made sure that there were Bifroa Piraot, and so on. So it's fascinating thing I pointed out before, that in Eish Hischayil is called Ateret Baala, and it's always women somehow that are the ones that are concerned with doing things right. I mean, you'd think it's none of their business, right? But starting with the time at Tzipora and coming along to the time of Dvorah with the Schiddush and so on, it really somehow or other is nogea specifically the way that women understood what is the necessity of doing Mila right. So anyway, you've got to get rid of an orla, which is a foreskin. You've got to get rid of, which is much more difficult to do, you've got to get rid of the Or HaPriah. And the reason it's much more difficult to do is, first of all, it's very tightly stretched across the glands. And therefore, you've got to be able to quickly grab the top, which is just a little bit open, obviously, to allow for urination and so on, before it gets too bloody. If it gets bloody, it gets very slippery, and then you're in trouble. So that's one of the big tricks of Mila, is do it fast. And you have to use sufficient pressure to slide it down and usually tear a little bit, which is why people usually have like a little piece that's hanging off their penis that they have no idea what it's doing there. That's the leftover little pieces of the Or HaPriah. Now, the other thing that you've got to do is what happens is often in tearing the Or HaPriah, it actually tears because, again, it's really tight. And when it tears, there might be little pieces that are still left and have not been removed. Now, that's a problem. Those are called tzitzin. Now, these tzitzin are only going to be ruining the mila if they are either wide or long enough, this is a machlokas, we pass kalachom on both, to cover the atora. Now, the atora is a very tiny piece of the glands. The atora is specifically what is called in English atora. It's called corona. And you may have been aware that corona has to do with wearing a crown. So exactly what the end of the glands has is this crown that goes around, almost completely around as a crown. It has that little going up part it's a question bottom or top. The Gemara has a different sense of bottom or top. But anyway, what happens is that that little area of raised skin, which is how Rashi understands the meaning of Atara, not including any of the actual glands except for the corona itself, if you have even a tiny piece of skin that would cover that, you've got to get it off. And that's called tzitzin hama'akvim et amila. Then besides that, you also have the mitzitza. The mitzitza is, according to almost everybody, except for like very, very spiritual kind of people, is sucking the blood out of the wound because of the fact that it was at the time considered to be dangerous. And it would allow for swelling and infections. And because of that, they had to move the blood that was on the surface Not when I say surface, doesn't mean surface means in the capillary, it's surrounding. We're going to talk about surface or capillary blood in a minute in the Gemara, and get it out of the body to prevent any type of infection from occurring. And then obviously you need to bandage, but not because of what you think. Besides the bandage, which would have antiseptics or whatever, with the antiseptics that they had, you have another very important need for bandage. Sorry. The other need for bandage is to make sure that you've tied down the area right beneath the atara in order to make certain that the skin does not creep back over as part of the healing process. Then you'd have to do the whole thing over again, which means that you need a well, perfectly made fit in order to be able to do the mila properly. This is the way they used to do it at the time of the Mishnah. So we'll be talking about all of these things. Nowadays we use actual bandages. Then they used to actually make a proper sized, tight, like a little tube that they would use to place right underneath the atara to prevent the growing back. So when we say osin kol tzarchei mila b'shabbat, it seems on the surface in this Mishnah that the Mishnah is going to define what those tzarchei mila are. And it says, mohalim, great, that's taking off the foreskin. Porim, great, that's taking off the membrane. Motzitzim, sucking out the blood. Perfect. Notnim alea ispalanit, you put a bandage on, and cumin, which was used as an antiseptic, ground cumin. And if you hadn't ground it, Meir of Shabbos, so then you can grind it with your teeth, which also gets the antiseptic properties of saliva on it, and you put it on. They also would use wine and oil. Rashi says in those days that was part of the way they treated wounds. Apparently he didn't. But anyway, so you would mix wine and oil in a mixer, but do that on Erev Shabbos because the Rabbanim goes for that because it looks like you're mixing things in order to use them for cooking. And if you didn't prepare it from Erev Shabbos mixed, you could put on wine separately, oil separately. You cannot make a made-to-order chaluk. The chaluk, as I said, is the little perfectly shaped tube bandage that was the right size for this particular child. You cannot make that on Shabbos. You'd make sure you use that and do that Erev Shabbos. If you didn't do it, so then you can just do what we do, which is kore chalav smartut. So you use a gauze bandage and you put the bandage, obviously it's to size because that's the way that you rolled it. Im lo hitkin me'erev Shabbat. So how about if you didn't get it ready to bring it on Erev Shabbos? So then what you do is wrap it around your finger in order that it should be with a shinui, and then you can bring it even from a different chatzar without an Erev, and some tiny even, this means even Rosh Hashanah, even though the chatchila tzatzar shalok kederech, you're carrying it around your finger, which isn't the normal way of carrying things, you'd be allowed to do this because it's a tzarech hamila. Now, the problem that we have is that the Mishnah that introduced the idea of doing everything you got to do then goes ahead and tells me every one of the things I got to do. So, I mean, what's the point? Osin kol tzarchei mila. All you need to do is to say, mo'alin, uporin, umotzitzin, et cetera, et cetera, b'shabbat. You don't add anything by saying, osin kol tzarchei mila. So, michte, that exactly is the Gemara's problem. If you started off by saying, all of the needs of the mila, right? Katani kulo. So why did you mention kol tzorchei mila as a klal? What in the world is that adding? Oh, because we forgot one thing. La tuye hodetan rabbanan hamal. Somebody is doing a mila on Shabbos. As long as he has not set down whatever, he hasn't removed his hands, whatever he was holding, he's allowed to continue being mal. So let's say that he finishes doing all of the stuff that he's doing. Now he's looking over this penis and he says, uh-oh, it's not a very nice mila. I left a couple of little pieces of skin. So now what would be the din? So over there, if he has not stopped doing the mila, he is allowed to continue, and this is wounding, right? So it should be usher. He's allowed to be choser even on a tzitzin that are not ma'akvin, which is a shock, because he already finished the mila correctly, right? But since he's being involved in the mila, do it properly, and doing it properly means there shouldn't be any little pieces of skin left at all. But I was already yotze v'chiyev if I took off all of the tzitzin, that would be ma'akev the meal. It doesn't matter. You continue to do it right because you're still doing that mitzvah. So you're chosen bein ala tzitzin she'ina ma'akev v'nas ha'mila, obviously, or... even, and not only on tzitzin that are ma'akvin asamina, but the moment that he was pirish, the moment he sets down his things, and oh my gosh, all of a sudden he's yikes, I didn't do a very pretty job, then eno chozer, he cannot go back on tzitzin, which are not ma'akvin. Now, who is the man, the Omar, that says that if he was pirish, he's not allowed to continue, go back again, and just finish the job right? Omar Rabba Bar Bachonam, Rabbi Yochanan. Well, we had this Bandi Omar before, remember? It must be Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, because as we discussed earlier, what would be the din if Erev Pesach and the bringing of the Korban Pesach came out on a Shabbos? So over there, we said that the din is that your mafshit Pesach ad hachazeh and only ad hachazeh, divi Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So remember, the Korban is hanging by its feet, and you are skinning, taking off whatever you need to take off in order to get up to the diaphragm. Once you get up to the diaphragm, you can simply slice through the diaphragm. You stick in your hand, you can take out anything you want once the diaphragm isn't in the way. So that's all you need to skin. You don't need to skin any more than that because you can take out all of the emurim. The rest you're not going to be using anyway until the night. You're not allowed to make your Korban Pesach on a Shabbos. So, therefore, that's all you should do, says Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Whereas the Chachomim, you remember this all, Machlokes, they say, no, you should, afterwards, you go back, and you finish the Hafshata. Now, remember that you broke your flow. You started off with the Hafshata, you got to the diaphragm, you stopped. You took out the Emurim that you have to bring out on the Mizbeach. You took them out, set them aside, washed whatever needed to be washed, put things on the Mizbeach. Now you're coming back. So that's very similar to the case of Piresh by the Mila. You broke the flow. Now the question is, can you come back? So Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says, no. Once you break the flow, you can't go back and finish the job if it isn't absolutely necessary. Aha! So that's exactly what the Mishnah is saying over here by Mila. You broke the flow. Now you can't go back and finish things unless it's absolutely necessary. But it isn't absolutely necessary if it's not ma'akev zamila. Masha Inkin, the Chachomim who say over there, well, just go ahead and finish it. They would say over here that you can just go ahead and finish it anyway. No, that doesn't prove anything. Maybe Atkan lokom Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan Broka hatam. The reason that maybe Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan Broka says you can't go back and finish the job, because the job is not defined as something that needs to be finished. Where does it say that you have to finish the job? What's the job? The job, there's a concept called skinning. Why? There's a concept called skinning until the place that you need. I mean, there's no concept called skinning. But that's because there's no definitive description of the result. What if there is a definitive description of the result? What if the Torah says, I want you to make sure that at the end of that mila, that penis looks beautiful. So then, if it doesn't look beautiful, that means that the result having been defined is enough to be allowing you to come back. Because then you can't say, what do you mean I broke? You didn't break. You didn't finish the job. So when it comes to the din over there, that's because there is no halacha of zeh keli v'anveyu. I'm not doing a mitzvah with the skinning that I have to do the skinning beautifully. But when it comes over here, I'm doing a mitzvah that requires a beautiful result because all mitzvahs have to be done in zeh keli v'anveyu. D'tanya, zeh keli v'anveyu means when you do a mitzvah, do it right, beautifully. If you're making a sukkah, sukkah should be beautiful. If you're taking a lulav, your esrog, you know, everybody loves it. All mitzvahs are supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be beautiful. If you're going to be blowing a shofar, then make sure the shofar is beautiful. You're making tzitzis. Do it nicely. You're writing a Sefer Torah. Make sure that the results are beautiful, written properly in the most beautiful ink you can get. Even the kumus that you use to write the Sefer Torah has also a requirement of beauty. Make sure you get the best sofa you can get. Wrap that Sefer Torah in the most beautiful silks. Abba Shaul says The anveu means something else. It means ani vehu. Make yourself similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like his hanhoga is chanun v'rachum, af ata heye chanun v'rachum. So obviously, if you have to make a Sefer Torah that's beautiful, you certainly have to have a beautiful penis at the end of your mila, which means that the thing that is going to make B'nai Yisrael constantly, the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to show their connection, and connections are made out of penises, essentially, then it has to be beautiful. So if there was a chiyuv to do the job right in the first place, where do we see that somebody would object to going back and say, you're going back, you're doing something that isn't necessary, this is a new action. I didn't complete the job, and therefore it's not a new action. So that can't be the raya. You're right, says the Gemara. You know what? It must be Rabbi Yossi. It's not. When it comes to the question of whether you're supposed to be Mechal Shabbos, to be Yotzi Chutz L'Tchum, in order to get to Besdin. And the din is that anybody who sees the new moon should run, go to Besdin, and even if he's got to go Chutz L'Tchum, in order to be able to be Mekadosh L'Chadosh Bizmano. So it says over there in the Mishnah, Bein Sh'nir'eh Ba'alil, U'Bein Sh'lo Nir'eh Ba'alil, V'Chalalina Levet HaShabbat. So it doesn't matter whether that moon, that new moon, was like so brilliantly bright and obvious. There's not a cloud in the sky. There's no haze. You could see that moon for miles in all directions. Anyway, you saw it. You go and you go to Besdin. You can't say, well, I mean, what do you mean Besdin? They saw it together with everyone around there. Somebody can be an aide, right? Rabbi Yossi says, no, that doesn't make sense. Nir Ebe'aliyel, Ein Mechalin Levet HaShabbat. Look, I mean, if everybody saw it, then what's the point? So you see that even though there is a mitzvah involved, like there would be on tzitzin, but since it's not absolutely necessary, according to Rabbi Yossi, you do not go and Mechal Shabbos for it. So therefore, the same thing would be true over here. It's not absolutely necessary. It's very nice, but it's not absolutely necessary. So this is Rabbi Yossi Shita, right? This is Gemara, what? What do you mean, right? Of course it's not right. Over there is no mitzvah to be Mechal Shabbos in the first place. So why should I be Mechal Shabbos is what Rabbi Yossi is saying. Over here, there's no question. I have to be Mechal Shabbos in order to do this mila, okay? Now you're telling me, but don't do it right? That doesn't make any sense. And maybe over there, of course, Rabbi Yossi would be made of that if there is a mitzvah to be Mechal Shabbos, so then doing it correctly is the understanding of how to be Mechal Shabbos. Okay, you're right. So that's also not a raya. So who then is the man the Omar? Ela Amri Nahardoi, it's a whole different machlokas, which we also touched on earlier. It's the Rabbanan who argue on Rabbi Yossi. It's not. It says in the Mishnah that if you're going to make the switch on Shabbos, in which you take off the old Lechem HaPanim and you put on the new Lechem HaPanim, you've got a little bit of a problem, don't you? Because remember that the Lechem HaPanim is supposed to be Lefanai Tamid. So how do you get off the old ones and get on the new ones? So then it won't be Tamid, right? So because of that, the Chachamim say, well, what you do is you make sure that they actually are doing it almost simultaneously, so there's never a moment when the Shulchan is without Lechem. So what you have four Kohanim going in, carrying Shnayim Yadam, Shnei Sidarim, Vishnayim Ebiyadam Shnei Bezichim. So basically, you've got two Kohanim, one carrying six, another one carrying six of the Lechem. And you've got another two Kohanim, each one holding one of the Bezichei Levona that has been set down on the Shulchan. Then you've got another four Kohanim that walk in right before. Okay? And they're walking in one after the other. Magdim Elifnehem. And there too, you've got two Kohanim for taking off six and six, two Kohanim for taking off one and one of the Bezichim. Now, the ones who are about to put in the new Lechem and the new Bezichim, they stand on the northern side of the width of the table, in other words, and they're facing south. And the ones that are taking out the old Lechem and the old Bezichim, they're standing on the south side of the width of the table, in other words, because the table was east-west, and they're facing north, okay? They do the act together. So some start pulling the old Lechem. Those are the two Kohanim in charge of that. while the other two Kohanim are putting on the new lechem within one tefach of each other. And that means it was never a moment that it was without lechem. Mishum shenemar lifanai tamid. It's got to be there all the time. Rabbi Yossi says, well, what's the big deal? Afilu elu notlin ve'elu minich. Well, you think it's really a problem? It's just tamid, that there can't be a time in which you took it off and you come back in and put it on later? What's the difference? That's called tamid. You did it today. You're still doing it. Oh, so according to that, the way that Rabbi Yossi understands it, the same thing should be true about Mila. Just because I put down my tools doesn't mean I'm not being osik in it. It doesn't mean that the mitzvah is still not involving me all day long, exactly the same way that the shulchan is. So you come back, walk out, come back and bring in the rest. Same thing is true over here. I may have set down my scalpel, but I still am going to be checking to make sure things are right. I look, I don't like what I see. Why not do it right? So therefore, only the Chachamim will argue on Rabbi Yossi. They would be the ones who say, if you put down your tools, then don't go back and fix things up on Shabbos, because that will be like a new Maisa, and therefore it will be Aser. Tana Rabbana, Mahalketina Tamila, V'imlo Yoket Anush Karet. The din is that you've got to take off those tzitzin that are ma'akvim, pick off the little pieces, and if not, you're going to be chayiv kares. Who's going to be chayiv kares? Amar of Kana, the mayo. Because if the mayo was b'chalal Shabbos, and he doesn't finish the job, so we say, what the heck did you just do? You made a wound on Shabbos that didn't achieve anything, and you're not finishing the job, so all you did was chilul Shabbos. So then you would be chayav kares. Wow. So that means if it isn't done right, the moil is in big trouble. Maskefar of Papa, does that make sense? I mean, why can't the moil say, now listen here, the Torah doesn't say that one guy's got to do the whole job. The Torah just says you got to get Mila done, okay? Now, I did part of the job. Finish the job. The part that I did, I was doing beheter gomer. The Torah says you're supposed to cut off the foreskin. I cut off the foreskin. Now you want it. I don't know how to do the rest. Okay, you do the rest. What do you want? Why in the world would he be chayev if he did whatever he did, brishus gomer as a mitzvah in the Torah? So it can't mean the mayal. Ela amar of papa, the gadol. This is a big issue, by the way. Should two people be involved in a case where one person could do the whole job? Let's say it's very common for people who want to do the mila on their own child, that they do not know how to do the priya properly, which takes a lot of practice. So what they do is they get a real mayal to be with them. The mayal sets things up. They cut off the orla. And then the mayal goes and he takes care of the priya. So would that be mutter on Shabbos? I mean, this is what this Gemara would be nogea. Okay, this is a whole question. But certainly we're not going to say that a person who did part of the mila and did whatever he could do is going to be chayev kares. Therefore, it must be referring to, says Rav Papa, the child when he grows up. If he doesn't get rid of a little piece of skin that is covering the corona, he's going to die as an oral. Maske Floravashi, Godo? I said, I need you to tell me a Godo. It says in the Torah, Arael Zachar, Asher lo Yamul, et Bisara Lato, Vinikrata. I mean, obviously, if this is Ma'akev the Mila, so then he was never Ma'ul. What kind of chinish is there in that? El Amaravashi, no. It's actually talking about the Mael. And the case over here is that the guy comes, as often happens, late to the bris, except in this case, it was so late, it was 2 minutes before Shkia. So everybody says to the male, forget about it, man, you ain't going to finish in time. And he says, you don't know me. I do an absolutely 2 second Mila and I do it right. So let's go. Come on, Kvater, right? Okay, what happens? He actually does the Mila, but it turns out he left a little bit of tzitzin and now, boing, it's already after Shkia. That's the problem. So it turned out over here that he really did not have enough time to do that Milan Shabbos, in which case he was Mechalo Shabbos B'shogeg. And therefore he would be Chayav Kares. That's what it's referring to. And would it be Chayav Achatas? So here he arrives, Bein Hashmashot Shabbat, and everybody's yelling at him, Lo Maspakta, Lo Maspakta. No, he says, of course, you don't know me, man. Maspakina. And in the end, Avad V'lo Mispidapit, Vishtakik, the Chabura Hudavit, which means that what he did on Shabbos was just the Chabura B'Shabbos, and he would be Chai, of course. Motzitzin. Next thing you have to do is to suck out the blood. Omer of Papa. Now, that's not very pleasant. So a mayal that doesn't want to suck out the blood, that's a sakana. And he can't be a mayal anymore. We fire him. The avrinan lay. I don't understand. I mean, isn't that obvious? If we're mechalal Shabbos to suck out blood, then obviously it's a sakana, in which case, of course, we're not going to allow a guy who doesn't do a job right, you'd be like a doctor who endangers his patients. Of course we're going to be my mom. What's the chiddush in that? No, I'll tell you the chiddush is like this. Because ma'o detema haida mifkat pakit. Now, there's two ways of understanding this. When you do a mitzitza on blood that has already, you've already cut through the capillaries, okay? So now the question is, you're doing a mitzitza. Is that considered to be an actual new chabura, because in applying the additional pressure, you're breaking the thin capillaries and pulling blood out? Or is the blood there? It's only going to come out through the open capillaries. And it's basically mifkat pocket. You're just making sure that there's not a lot of blood in one place, which can end up causing swelling. And from swelling, you could end up cutting off blood supplies. But it has nothing to do with actually being Mechal Shabbos, because the blood is sitting there. And therefore, it's Mifkat Pocket. It's just sitting there in that place. Kamashbal, no, the blood is actually internalized. It's Chibure Michbar, and it is a Sakana, and that you would not have known if I hadn't pointed out to you. You couldn't have said, well, if we're Mechal Shabbos to suck the blood out, you're not being Mechal Shabbos to suck the blood out. Maybe. So therefore, I'm telling you, you should know you are being Mechal Shabbos, and the reason that we're being matir is because it is a sakana, and therefore it follows logically that if the mayal refuses to do the job right, that of course we are not going to allow him to be a mayal. And it's exactly the same thing that we said before. It's like the ispalanit and the kamon. It's like putting on the antiseptics on the ispalanit, which we said serves, there's two functions that you're dealing with over there. There's the actual refuah, and then there's the prevention of ruining the mila. And over there, if you use the cumin, which was the antiseptic that they had, so over there, if you wouldn't have done that, it would have been a sakana. So I'm telling you that the din of mitzitza is also a sakana. Afachinami ki lo avid sakanahu. The last thing is that notnin alea ispalanit. So it's not exactly clear. Okay, how do we make these ispelanits? So Omar Abaya, well, remember, Abaya had his mommy. It wasn't really his mommy. It was his nanny. But that nanny used to tell him all kinds of amazing things. And that was the one that was gave him all of his practical advice in life. It's like the power of one, you know. It's the nanny that really gives you the information that you need. You know? So anyway, so he's always quoting his nanny. So he said, she said that ispalinat dekula. Let me tell you something. You want to make a proper pain compress, essentially, right? So I'll tell you the way to make a pain compress properly. And that is, you've got to make it out of 7 parts of fatty substance, animal fat, 1 part wax. And that will get it stuck there and will actually help the wound to heal. Rava Amar, and Rava says, no, actually, the best kind of ispalanit is made out of wax. The wax part, you're right, but it also requires kalba rishina. So kalba rishina is some type of, actually, the word is exactly what it seems to be, and it probably is resina, which means resin. It's the Hebrew resin. So, and this is the way the Mefarshim explain it, that it's tree resin. So you use that. That will actually seal the wound. Perfect ispalinas, and it takes away any pain. And actually, Rava once gave a drasha in Mechuza where he told everybody that this is what he considers to be the best possible curative application of whatever kind of bandaging you need to do, whatever kind of healing you need to do. And oh my God, it turned out that the top doctors in town, all of their years in medical school, the only usable thing that they had learned was actually this, you know. And basically, if he told it over to people in the drusha, then why would anybody go to a doctor? This was a disaster. And because of that, they tore their clothes. Oh, no. There goes all of those years of training in medical school. He's given away our secrets. This is a disaster. So he says to them, now listen here, man. It's not as if I ruined it. Remember, there's two things that you could do. I leave you one thing that I didn't publicize, okay? So Shafki Lechuchada, you've got enough parnasa from that. The Omar Shmuel. And this is a problem of people who will wash their face and they do not dry their skin properly on their face. And what happens is that chaspina, what happens is you can get acne. I don't know exactly what it is, or the skin hardens in different areas. And what do you do? Now, this is the big Jewish secret that nobody knows, and I'm leaving it for you doctors, and that is, only borscht will cure cancer. So the thing to do is wash your face with borscht and everything will be wonderful. Okay, so my takante, limshe tuva, lots and lots of borscht. But maya de silka.